We can't understand a vision of God as a God that we worship when God is distant, when God is disconnected, when God doesn't engage in the reality of the world that we're here. At least if we're worshiping a Christian God, a God who's made the promises that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and a God who's now come in Jesus Christ and who's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. That God is a God who fills all in all. And therefore, what are we meant to do in our worship? We're meant to fill all in all by the reality of what we proclaim, sing, pray, say, and do in ordinary real time and in special contexts in which we gather with other people to practice something that we call a service of worship. But if we were to take this grandeur and somehow create it in a kind of microcosm and say it all happens in a worship service, and the worship service now becomes a small boundary on which that is worship and then there's life, then we've completely failed to understand the theology of worship. This is not news. I feel like I'm probably preaching all of this to the choir, absolutely, because this is built into the assumptions, I think, of this whole institute. But it's worth remembering and getting clearly in focus because it is so not remembered and not in focus for the practice of the people of God. And that is demonstrated every day. So the fact that the Church of Jesus Christ is so deeply implicated in acts of racism, the fact that the Church of Jesus Christ is so deeply implicated in acts of injustice, that we participate in economies that bring suffering, that we are blind and dull toward our neighbor that actually suffers, that we do not see or even care to see the reality of a world of extraordinary need, and that we fence that off, or that we, for that matter, leave our job outside of worship, or we leave our school place outside of worship, or that we leave the neighborhood or our marriage or the places of great disconnection and hypocrisy in our own character outside of worship. The fact that somehow all of this doesn't cohere is the daily expression that we still don't get it. So even if we have a theology that says we get it, I think our theology says we don't get it, right? As a fundamental fact, we don't actually get this. So I don't think I'm saying this to you as that you don't understand the theological paradigm. I'm saying it to myself as much as to you to say, I don't think we actually get it, that it actually coheres and inheres in us in such a way that in fact we realize this is as close as the next breath, it's as close as the next moment internally or externally in which we act or fail to act, speak or fail to speak, engage or fail to engage in the world. It is fundamental, and all of it then is a function of worship. So what is the national election for president about? In part, it's about an act of worship. What is Ferguson about? It's in part a crisis of worship. What is our response to that about? It's in part of a crisis of worship. What is our understanding of global AIDS? In part, it's a function of worship. Why are there more people enslaved today in the world, 35 million people? What do we make of 35 million people being enslaved, far more people than have ever been enslaved at any other time in history? That is a crisis of worship. That's at least my understanding of how it is that these things ultimately land. Why? Because the God that we worship, the God that has been so beautifully described here in Isaiah, does not see that world neutrally or dispassionately. All of that is seen as the evidences of a free creation that's bent on its own self-serving and often other destructive ends. And that is a worship crisis. And then how the people of God perceive, engage, fail to engage, or respond to that is whether or not our worship becomes authentic in the world and faithful in the world. This is, again, back to the sense that our worship is meant to be a demonstration of the glory of God. The glory of God does not just bounce off human trafficking and slavery. The glory of God doesn't just bounce off of Ferguson, Missouri. The glory of God doesn't just bounce off people who are starving. The world doesn't just bounce off circumstances of social and economic prejudice. Those are the very realities in which the question is, so where are my people? Like, where are you? And where's the evidence that you're actually showing up as people who are grounded in the Word of God, who demonstrate the presence of that kind of character and are prepared to live in a world with that much distance. What are you going to do with that worship crisis?